I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Raise your hands, everybody. I can see you. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. Big wins for West Ham and Villa in Europe. And Cole Palmer's been called up. It's Friday, 15th of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Tim Campbell.
My goodness, it's Friday, everybody. What a time to be alive. Get your hands up in the air, and Luke Moore's here.
How you doing, everyone? It's great to be back. I've had a week off. No one's noticed, but I'm back anyway.
They bloody have noticed.
Because
the letters. People still write letters. We just found this out.
Do they?
In your absence.
Big sack. Big bulging sack.
A huge sack for Luke Moore.
All made out of newspaper letters that have been cut out.
Keep him away,
yeah.
Some of them said, but most of them said, bring him back.
Yeah, well, and was it 52-48, was it?
Usually.
We'll push it through, and here we go.
We're going to do a recap.
We'll do the hard Luke's it.
But, yeah, so he's back in.
And listen, I'll tell you what that means for everyone else.
What's that?
It means probably inevitable drama in Jack's Encyclopedia later,
he's mentioned it already.
It's a title bout. It'll be a title bout.
It always is with you.
Well, these days it is. You're absolutely spot on. Listen, have you got the keys ready?
I've got the keys ready.
Good.
People were disappointed the other week, but don't worry.
Well, they couldn't have a weekend, mate.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I think you've got to miss a weekend to appreciate what the weekend can actually bring.
And Marcus, obviously for 1 week only, inexplicably turned it into a key card / pin device, so you couldn't hear the key. Now it's back to a traditional lock, I believe.
Today it is, yes. Good. But I mean, look, as I always say, I sent you all the key cards.
Yeah.
And if you've been good, you'll get one.
Great.
And if not, then Krampus will take it away, if you're familiar with that tradition.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, enough of the bollocks, everybody. Let's go to some Europa League roundup chat. West Ham United, 5-0. They hammered Freiburg. The Hammers hammered the Freibergs. What a win, Jim Campbell.
Fantastic win. I'm not surprised by it, to be honest.
Moyes' ball has landed.
I felt like this was coming even from the first leg, because Freiburg just didn't look that good. But some absolutely banging goals.
Yes.
Third season in a row that West Ham have reached a European quarterfinal as well. You've got to give it to Moyes in this competition.
Yeah.
He saves his bacon through it. Mm-hmm. You'll be pleased with that as a former bacon delivery boy yourself.
Indeed. Yeah. Save the bacon.
Were spotted outside the London Stadium just before kickoff with a bucket in your hand.
Yeah.
Did you give him his bacon?
I did. He wanted smoked, £1.52. We haven't changed the prices.
No such thing as Unsmoked's £1.50.
£1.48.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Oddly, 52.48 again. but yeah, there's no inflation with the bacon round. You're fine.
Yeah,
that'll be the price in 50 years.
Well, that's good to know. But yeah, I mean, that we have to talk about that Mohamed Kudus goal, right? It was goal of the round.
I think
just
we do.
Absolutely wonderful.
It was a dance, wasn't it? It was a beautiful water dance.
He couldn't believe it by the end of it himself. He literally had to go and have a little sit down on his little stool.
He earned that sit down.
He did.
Because when he did that before, I think one or two people said, was it disrespectful or some bollocks like that?
And I know this is ironic us saying this because we do about 5 million podcasts a week, but people just need things to say now, don't they?
Yeah.
Mm. And so that's why they've gone for that take. I need a take. They've put the take need first
before
the actual opinion.
Yeah, that's
right. I think if anyone's had a little sit down for 10 seconds, it's Kudus after that. But, you know, the Kudus goal was amazing. Like I said, it was a proper dance
through. George Weah-esque.
It was a dance for a disinterested Freiburg 11. But what I would say is this, Jim, you're spot on to say that, you know, he saves his bacon and Moyes, you know, he saves his best work for this kind of thing. West Ham were positive and really aggressive. And the problem is, for West Ham fans, is it's probably slightly bittersweet because when they play Aston Villa at home at the weekend, it will probably be a load of old shit because they won't want the ball and they won't try and hurt Aston Villa anyway. They'll play with players who can genuinely hurt other teams and maybe just won't utilise them because he's not brave enough to do so. And it's hard to be critical of Moyes.
Come on, I've just won 5.
I know. Well, I was going to say, it's hard to be critical of when they've come off such a big result and it's been such a good result for them. But you know, that is really the dynamic that West Ham fans find themselves in, is it not?
Yeah. Is there perhaps a sense that despite the fact that West Ham are, what, they're still seventh in the league? They are seventh in the league. There's a sense that they're like, they're playing in a way as if they're trying to avoid relegation when it should just not be in their thoughts at all.
Do you know what's remarkable? If you can say they're seventh in the league, and that in itself feels remarkable.
Yeah.
But they went from the new year through to the end of February without winning the game. Still seventh.
It's mad.
Yeah, so they've been a little bit better recently.
Shame on the Premier League.
I think there is a big gap, isn't there, between the top ones and all the rest of them?
Yeah, I'd say so.
All the rest of them are flashing around and they're thrashing around their own muck.
That, you sort of, I mean, sort of mid-table is very much up for grabs, really. In those sort of top 10 places, you know, where you might finish. Because obviously the higher you finish, the more cash you get, as we know. Well, they are playing Aston Villa. Sorry, West Ham are playing Aston Villa. And Aston Villa, Jim, they were among the goals themselves, hammering Jordan Henderson's Ajax.
Yeah, I mean, this feels...
As they're now officially called.
Absolutely, yeah.
He is the captain now.
Yeah. If you put a couple of Englishmen into Ajax, they will fall apart.
would you say Jordan Henderson's now more symbolic to Ajax and more impactful to Ajax than Johan Cruyff?
I would say he's more symbolic than the little bloke they've got in the badge.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. Mm. That might be Jordan Henderson, actually, thinking
about
it.
Well, I think it is now. Yeah, they've rebadged it.
Don't worry. Yeah, Gareth's still got him as one of his guys, though, so that's the main thing.
Without doubt.
We'll do that later, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Well, it started then, isn't it?
I tell you, very convenient, though. I mean, if you go straight to St George's Park.
Exactly.
You know, it's in the Midlands.
He's got to pop along.
Yeah, he couldn't believe his luck.
Imagine if he said that. I mean, I don't know if I actually.
This is a great tie for us. I'm glad the second leg's away. Why is that? Because it's a short distance to St George's.
I won't be coming back for the league game. It's not convenient for me. It's not on the way.
Turns up, it's been renamed St Jordan's Park. Here we go. Everyone else is like, oh, fuck.
Gareth Southgate did say in this press conference, I will sign a new contract if Jordan allows me to do so. But it wasn't widely reported. Anyway.
This is all very naughty. We're getting off Aston Villa's magnificent achievement.
Are you worried for Ollie Watkins? Got an injury?
Yes, that is a great shame. That is a great shame. Because, you know, it was such a great night for Villa. A hammer. I mean, look, I know Ajax have been piss poor this season, but, you know, this is still a big opponent and you don't want to take anything away because it's a glamorous name, for crying out loud. And it's the first time that Villa have won a European knockout tie since 1998.
Yeah.
So you put it like that, you kind of think, well, absolutely. And it was a comprehensive win. So they played some great stuff.
They really sort of swarmed Ajax at times, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. So good for them. Big game against West Ham on the weekend. They need to get back on the wagon, of course, in the Premier League after that.
Is it Moyes' wagon? So you want to get back on Unai Emery's wagon, which is presumably a more kind of illustrious, interesting wagon than David Moyes' wagon.
I think he looked great in kind of old Western gear.
Definitely.
Yeah, this sort of kind of weird vampire Western hybrid.
Definitely.
Like from Dusk Till Dawn, actually.
There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I can see Emery definitely in like
a big, I think a big poncho. Hat. I think he would look fantastic.
And you know, ahead of the Spurs game, I think you guys covered. Like he massively tinkered.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see him tinkering again against West Ham because I think they're good enough as it is against most teams in the Premier League.
Yeah, I think with Villa there is a kind of all right, we'll go toe to toe with you, and we'll have you. And that some of their best moments in the Premier League, you could argue that they've done that. It's fair to say that Sparta Prague couldn't go toe to toe with Liverpool, though.
No,
I mean that was a. Do you know what? I felt a bit embarrassed watching it.
Did you?
It was.
Was it the moment when Sparta scored? To make it 9-2, I think it was.
The guy grabs the ball.
I love that. Yeah. Bloody love that.
But I don't want to take anything away from Sparta Prague. I used to have a Sparta Prague replica shirt that I used to wear for football on Five Aside.
You're joking.
My credentials in my unwilting support for Sparta Prague are rock solid, guys.
You can now say whatever you want about them.
I'm going to anyway.
Yeah.
It was almost like Liverpool had forgotten for a second that football was happening. Because even the commentator was a bit like, Well, Sparta Prague have scored, so sorry, normal service will resume shortly. Yeah.
Even the fans behind the goal, their faces seem to go, what?
Yeah, what?
Hang on, you're not going to count that, yeah? I just squirmed in.
I don't think it's a good thing when you see watch a game and you start thinking to yourself, why are we doing this? Like, why is this happening?
Mm.
Because the gap in class is just monumentally big, and it's not particularly edifying for anyone involved, really.
Well, that'll teach Sparta Prague for Liverpool finishing fifth or whatever it was last season.
Yeah, that's Sparta Prague's fault, I reckon.
Yeah. That is the thing, isn't it, with the Premier League? You know, you have a lot of quality at the top. Not everybody can qualify for the Champions League, although I believe if the coefficient changes, you know. Yeah.
How do you
we're
know?
Going to give it a good go.
Isn't there some weird thing that, like, you know, 12 English sides or 13 or something?
It's very unlikely to happen, but there is a possible route. I presume it involves various clubs winning European competitions for this to happen. But yeah, in a best or worst case scenario, depending on how you view it, 11 clubs from England 11? Could qualify for Europe.
But it does mean Manchester City finishing like sixth or something.
Possibly.
It's extremely unlikely is the point.
But I think it's gone too far, though. That is possible, though, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, look, again, Liverpool having, you know, by their standards, a poor season last season, that's why they're in the Europa League and that's why they're playing an opponent like Sparta Prague. And Liverpool have the bit between their teeth. They have done for a little while. They want to make sure that Jurgen Klopp finishes the season with all trophies available. You wouldn't put it past them. And Sparta Prague are just collateral damage, quite frankly.
Although, I mean, again, Liverpool had a lot of young players out. So it's an impressive win as well as being a little bit uncomfortable to watch because, the way that like Sparta Prague sort of seemed to booby trap their own defence at times with the way they were trying to pass it around, like, and just not learning lessons from how they were getting pressed.
It was like a training game.
But they were 5-1 down from the first thing. I think it's ridiculous to kind of say anything other than, offer commiserations to Sparta Prague.
I guess, look.
Surely they want to put in a good display on the night at least.
Well, they scored.
What more do you want?
Well, there was a tweet from Robert Fury. Good name.
Great name.
He said, Prague on zero yellows at 4-0 down, 9-1 on aggregate. I wonder how pissed off Marcus is at the moment. I think Robert is just... There's no fight left. I think the yellows...
Freiburg didn't pick up a yellow at all either against West Ham.
Yeah, I think once you're beaten and it's obvious, I think to start picking up yellows actually is probably unwise.
No, you've got to do the Roy Keane. You've got to smash into someone to make yourself feel better. That's how it goes.
There is that. I think that if it's two or three goals in it, maybe, if you're still in the tie.
If it were me and I was...
Maybe I'm going soft.
I think you are.
Yeah.
I would be saying to myself, with half an hour left in that game as a Sparta Prague player, let's see if I can at least put Mo Salah out for the season.
Yeah, that would be the honourable thing to do, wouldn't it? Well, Liverpool could still face Xabi Alonso and
Bayer
Leverkusen. And I tell you what, Carabag nearly did everybody a favour in this tournament, but they couldn't get over the line because Bayer Leverkusen scored in the 93rd, 97th minute to go through. And Carabag were down to 10. It's a good showing from Carabag.
Really, really good showing.
Carabag were very fortunate to only be down to 10 men as well, by the way.
There was that.
Yeah, and I think Leverkusen never know when they're beaten. The one thing, I've said about this Europa League mismatch kind of thing that's happening at the moment, yeah, I would be very, very interested. As I think we all would in the Liverpool versus Bayer Leverkusen in the next round. I mean, or at some point. Yeah. I mean, the draw's later today, so we'll find out. But that would be very, very intriguing because, you know, as we all know, we all love a subplot, a subtext, a narrative, and that would be a very, very good one because I think that Leverkusen, to me, seemed like the only team left in there, maybe notwithstanding the English teams, I suppose, but basically you could give Liverpool a real test.
Yeah, I agree.
And they're really similar styles in so many ways.
Yeah.
So it, you would think it would be one of those potentially quite high-scoring, free-flowing games.
Yeah. Did you enjoy the moment when the Carabao... when the Carabag player was sent off but he was given a yellow card by Anthony Taylor, who was refereeing, of course. And then Anthony Taylor went over to the monitor and thought, actually, no, this is going to be a red card. So he goes over there and says, no yellow card. The Carabag player goes to give him like a high five, which is outrageous behaviour. And then Taylor's just like, no, I don't think you understand. You're off, son.
But the thing is, Taylor doesn't even give that much away. There's no indication. Yeah, no, you don't understand. The red just comes straight out.
Yeah, he looks right through him.
He quite literally leaves him hanging in a number of ways.
If I were Anthony Taylor, what I would have gone is I'd have gone up to him, I'd have given him the high five, and I'd have gone, the good news is, big boy, it's not a yellow. The bad news is, come here, red.
Absolutely.
Yeah, off your pop.
Absolutely. Elsewhere in Europe last night, Brighton beat Roma 1-0, but of course lost 4-1 on aggregate. It was a tall order. I mean, Danny Welbeck's got a lovely goal.
Brilliant goal.
A forgotten goal now, Jim, I'm afraid. There was a moment in the second half when the keeper made a good save, and you think, that's got to go in. There was just a couple of moments with it's got to go in, but it was. I don't think it was ever likely. But Brighton fans, I think, won the battle of the banter.
Yeah, which is important.
Very important.
Is it as important as the fixture?
Sometimes more.
Yeah, I'd say so.
On this, 4-0 down from the first leg.
It's all you've got, Jim. responding to that quite grotesque banner that the Roma fans, brought out last time when they played the first leg.
What did they say? I don't remember that.
Do you not, you remember?
I don't remember it.
Something about the Queen.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that,
Right.
Yeah.
Brighton fans responded to the Roma fans' banner with a banner of their own saying, in, I assume, perfect Italian, Totti loves pineapple on his pizza.
Guy! Get him!
Have that!
Yeah. Hit him where it really hurts!
Yeah, and you know what? There will be shows and podcasts and all sorts about this in Italy today.
I actually saw, and at one point, I don't know if you saw the broadcast, but it cut to Totti in the director's box and he was tearfully calling his mother, who he still lives with.
Oh, dear me.
Best stuff out of the bloody thing.
Before we move on from European football chat, there's some bad news for the European Super League. And I know, Jim, for a brief moment, you were a fan of the European Super League.
It wasn't brief.
True.
It wasn't brief.
Would you like Arsenal to reconsider it, Jim? Because they're your team and they were one of the originals that decided to do it.
We'll get away, mate.
Yeah.
Watch and this space.
You and Daniel Levy are still pretty tight as well. Yeah. You both wanted to do it. Yeah.
They were both in agreement.
They were. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Well, the Danish Super League, or as the Superligaen, as they definitely don't pronounce it in the Danish is very hard pronunciation. You even Swedish and Norwegian people are a bit like, how is this?
I don't think that people give you enough sympathy for how much stuff you have to pronounce every show. Uh-huh. I think Danish is beyond what even you should have to do.
If Swedes are struggling, I've got no chance.
No, definitely.
Is all I'm saying. Yeah. Well, the Danish Super League, as we are definitely going to call it, have won a lawsuit that means the European Super League cannot register the Super League as a trademark in the EU.
Mega League!
In the EU.
Yeah.
Go to Saudi.
There you go. Yeah. You'd be all right watching Arsenal in Saudi, wouldn't you, Jim?
Weather's good. Yeah,
business,
why not?
Business as usual, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Weather's good.
Yeah. Is it good? It's hot, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just hot.
Is a point where it gets too hot, by the way.
Yeah.
Especially for us Englishmen.
Yeah.
Jim, you know, you get the right to moan. So
you're a dad who's been on holiday recently. It's nice to hear you doing the hits.
Austria's not that hot at this time of year.
Jim, it's currently
Hot enough.
It's currently 28 in Riyadh, but it will be
Sounds
34 right. tomorrow.
Sounds all right.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
What's your upper limit?
Upper limit. Well, I do like hot weather. So, you know, as long as it's not too often, I don't even mind a 40-degree day. I like it hot.
Where's that come from, Campbell?
Bloody hell.
That's come from
Heat.
Bloody hell.
So I'll be happy.
I'd sign on right now for the rest of my life at 22.
Agreed.
I'd never take any hotter than that.
I'd bite your hand off.
I'm not talking every day, but if those days come around, I'm like, great.
Bloody Jordan Henderson over here. Yeah. I like the heat, that's why I went there.
Maybe you could change perceptions about the Saudi weather if you were to go and live there. Basically what we're saying is the Super League has to happen in Saudi Arabia or it's done.
I think so.
Or they've got to call it something else.
But they now do have the opportunity to just change the name and like represent the exact same idea again and pretend it's something else, which they almost certainly will do.
Do like a DJ Khaled and call it like We the Best.
Yeah.
We the Best League.
Super League, Taylor's version.
All right then, let's talk about Jordan Henderson because the England squad was announced and Gareth Southgate has picked his...
This is the worst intro to the England squad announcement. Let's talk about Jordan Henderson. That's the takeaway.
Well, he will probably get a mention. So the friendlies against Brazil next Saturday and Belgium 3 days later. So two big sides. Belgium will be wearing their Tintin kit.
Yeah,
I'm disappointed by that, Jim.
Yeah,
because they haven't gone for the full length.
Yeah, if they go for the three quarter lengths or whatever Tintin wears, or you know, the 3/5,
they're over the knee. They're almost like a plus four.
If you haven't seen this, some of the kits have been released for the Euros, and I know some people are very interested in that, some people not so much. But Belgium, quite oddly, have gone for a Tintin away kit, which is sky blue top with a white collar.
Yeah, and brown
and
trousers.
brown shorts.
And every player's got a little dog as well.
Yeah, that's right. And they've all got to be blonde, presumably. I don't know.
I would.
Sorry?
Ginger. It's kind of ginger.
Ginger. Well, Ginger Bruin is all right.
I would urge caution at reading some of the Tintin books in 2024, but...
Never read them.
It's a classic.
I was ahead of my time.
You described it as odd. I don't think it is odd, because I think it's a famous kind of Belgian export, isn't it? And it's very, very popular around the world.
Danish.
No, that's French.
French. Asterix French. French.
Ah, okay.
But it's about the Gauls, obviously.
Yeah.
So the manager will be dressed as Poirot, right?
That's yeah. part of the... Well, Jim, now you're talking.
You know those awful, like, three-quarter length kind of cargo shorts that some dads wear?
Yeah. You and I haven't gone there yet.
No, not yet.
Looking forward to it, though.
It's in the post, yeah. They should go for that.
I mean, it's going to make no difference to their ability to run, right? So why not?
Do you remember I believe it was the Cameroonian guys tried to do a vest, an all-in-one onesie kind of thing, and it was outlawed by the absolute party poopers at FIFA.
Yeah.
Right.
Nuts.
We need to encourage more of this.
Yeah.
I think it's great they've gone for this. It's
the amount of colours sometimes on your kit.
Oh, right.
You can fall foul of.
Really? Okay.
It's a strange one, that, if you have more than sort of a certain amount of colours. I mean, again, the Cameroon shirts, which I spoke about recently it was on Ramble Uncut, I think, with the flag, the Cameroon flag. And that was, for whatever reason, that wasn't allowed.
Probably do a TV pictures and stuff like that, maybe. Not be able to pick it up easy. And
maybe.
Kind of colour blindness, that kind of thing.
Could be.
But anyway.
Could be genuinely good reasons, but sometimes it does seem a bit party poopy.
So do we think that Belgium will be wearing the Tintin kit in their game against England?
No, I don't know. I hope so.
That'd be great. I think it looks amazing. I'm actually all for it.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Tuxedos for the final. Full tuxedos.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah, specifically for the Belgians. Or are you jinxing us, Jim?
No, for everyone.
For everybody. You've got to do it. You've got to have
patent leather spats on as well.
Now you're talking. Would Anthony Gordon look good in a tuxedo?
Who?
Because he's in the squad. Anthony Gordon.
Yeah.
He's going to be playing on the left. He's not going to play on the right. Sorry, everybody. But yeah, so the big inclusions, obviously Cole Palmer, Anthony Gordon, Jared Branthwaite, someone we didn't mention the other day.
Well deserved as well.
Yeah.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think so. He's having a very, very good season.
Scored a lovely goal recently.
He's been fairly busy as well.
Yeah, he has. He's shown that he's definitely ready to put the work in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If England do go 1-0 up in a knockout game and suddenly are under siege, you know, he'll be right at home.
He will be.
You would say. Joe Gomez has earned his place back in the side.
Sure.
Agree.
Ezri Konsa was another one we didn't mention, which we really should have done. That was poor
for us. We have talked about him before.
And
we can't mention everyone.
No.
Yeah, we can try.
Yeah.
Ivan Toney we did mention. He's in.
He is in.
Him and Ollie Watkins at the moment, although Watkins, we see about the injury. No place for Calvin Phillips. Now, this one, I was sort of surprised on one level, but on the other level, there's a lot of levels to me. I'm not, because...
Like a car park. And
they call me the car park.
Yeah.
I'm that interesting. But but Calvin Phillips, I suppose, if you think about Harry Maguire, when he was getting picked and people were like, what on earth is this all about?
Yeah.
Southgate is thinking to himself... Obviously, there was a lot more time before the Euros, but Southgate is you know, he's a trusted player of Southgate's, blah, 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 blah. And perhaps he thinks that Maguire was you know, I don't know, for want of a better word, sort of big enough or strong enough to take that criticism. And, you know, there was a lot of chat around there. Maybe, perhaps he's learned from that with Calvin Phillips, because let's be honest, we all want Calvin Phillips playing well. And if he is playing well, he'll be in the squad. So perhaps Southgate's thinking, look, at the moment, mate, if you get into the squad, there'll be a lot of chat about you. You know, let's take the heat off you, perhaps. Or he might just be saying, mate, you're crap at the moment.
No, when they're good enough.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think that's it, Marcus. And he's implied this with what he said about Phillips' quality and how much he wants him to be involved when he's at the best version of himself. But this is different from him being dropped in the way that some players are being dropped because of their form. This is to motivate him, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's got one opportunity to put a rocket up Phillips, basically, and get him into the position that he wants him to be in. Because we all know Southgate absolutely loves him.
And we know
when he's playing at his best, Southgate would pick him in a heartbeat.
And he knows where he fits in the side, in the camp and all that kind of stuff. So there are one or two players that you think, if they miss this squad, they kind of, you know, they already kind of fit in there, if you see what I mean. Now, people will be saying, what are you talking about, lads? He's been dreadful. He has, but we know his quality. And if he finishes the season or if his form doesn't change at all, then there's a big call for Southgate to make. At the moment, it's an easy one to make. You're not in the squad, and Southgate will be really hoping that not only does he play well, he actually gets some minutes, because Moyes is now putting him on the bench, for crying out loud.
He's miles off.
Yeah, he is miles
and,
off.
And tournament football is about timing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can time your run into a squad by having a really good second half of a season, you know, kind of whoever you are.
Yeah.
And you know, the last time I know he came off the bench against Freiburg last night, but the last time we saw Calvin Phillips was at home against Burnley, and he got subbed off at half time and they didn't win the game.
So it's looking unlikely.
We cannot, and it's nothing to do with us, but if we have a high hope of doing well in this tournament, which we should have, we're not realistically going to go deep relying on Calvin Phillips at the moment.
No, of course not.
And that's how it is. Yeah. So I think one of the takes that I haven't really seen much of, but I think is an important one to say based around this squad. A lot of people have talked about how they haven't really put that many defensive-minded midfield players in there. There's Indeed. Only Rice and Henderson. Henderson's, you know, not an improving player. You've got Rice, who's having a great season. Yeah. He obviously will be relied upon and will start. But people aren't considering the fact that John Stones could play there. And I think that John Stones is someone now that Southgate will be thinking about playing in that two behind Jude Bellingham, probably, because of Phillips's form.
Make me slightly worried about the centre-half situation.
Yeah.
Maybe, but the thing is, England, it's a problem that England need to solve, because what they need to do is they need to decide whether they're going to go Maddison with Rice and Bellingham behind, play Bellingham a bit deeper, or whether they're going to go Bellingham in the hole with Rice and one other.
Well,
if they do one
in front of two, or two sort of slightly beyond the pivot, if you like, which is Rice. Yeah. That's how that.
But I don't think you can do that against a good team.
No, I wouldn't have thought so either. Which is why I think when we're talking about the best England side to take on the best teams, I think you probably would have two behind Bellingham. And I know people want Foden in there and Maddison and so on, but it's too early for that. I think you need a few years or whatever of England players playing more possession football, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, another thing I think that isn't being thought about as well is that part of the reason that John Stones is in this conversation is because actually a lot of the time he moves into that midfield position from centre-half anyway.
He's playing for the best team in the world, though.
Absolutely, it's true, but it's not like England don't have good players. Uh-huh. And obviously, they get battered by City, I'd imagine, if there was some sort of a situation where that would happen.
Jude Bellingham
wouldn't let that happen. No.
But this looks like it's a bit of a nerve-wracking thing, isn't it? Not knowing who that third sort of nailed-on midfielder is going to be. But when you consider that there are players like Stones and Trent Alexander-Arnold as well that can step into that role from a different position within a game now, who are very well practiced at that.
Yeah.
Actually, it's potentially really exciting and a real boon, because I don't think Southgate's going to start the same 11 in every game necessarily, certainly not in the group stages. Mm-hmm. So this is a good opportunity, and I think dropping Phillips allows him to do this as well, to look at some other options in there. And I think he's got that right. Again, the Henderson thing is, I've just accepted that, you know, Henderson's going to be in every squad until I'm dead.
I think Henderson...
Which one? How long is that going to be, just so I know?
But Henderson does bring...
Forget what that old lady said, actually.
Henderson does bring sort of leadership qualities and a lot, which I think is important. People thought, us included, Ben Chilwell was injured, but he's in there.
I tell you who isn't in there, Ross Barkley. And you'd have thought that, given that he's got a great talent for playing really well and scoring goals, but yet always being on the losing side, would be absolutely perfect for England.
Yeah, I think at half-time...
He's got DNA, he's got the England DNA.
Half-time of extra time in the quarter-final, get him in there.
Yeah. Half-time against Bournemouth, after that goal, he thought, I've got a chance here.
Big time. He didn't know, he said himself, didn't he? He said, look, I think I'm playing some of the best football of my career. He said, I've improved in certain areas that I was told by earlier managers that I need to improve upon, and I really want to be in there, but he's not been given the nod.
Well, he's not been given the nod, and I think that actually, if you were to look at a couple of midfielders that we mentioned that would be from left field, but have been playing really well, Ross Barkley and Ruben Loftus-Cheek, from what I've heard, you know, obviously I haven't watched him too much for Milan, but I just think that perhaps, as Andy said, for Southgate, that's too left field. So we are where we are. But it's very forward heavy, this squad. A lot of people have made that
great.
Correct.
That's what people wanted, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's the thing. That was really weird, because all the shit I see online about Southgate squads and Southgate's approach, too conservative. Oh, with these players, I mean, any manager could get a brilliant fucking this and that and score loads of goals. He picks whatever it is, 9 forwards. Neville's got a lot of forwards in there. What would you want?
Well, a bit of balance, maybe. But
the final point I'll just make is that this is a mindset thing for England fans, and something I feel quite strongly about. We have to get out of this mindset of that, you know, because Jordan Henderson's been good and because Jack Grealish has given us some great moments and because Calvin Phillips has been part of that thing where we all fell in love with England again, they somehow have this kind of loyalty owed to them. I think that is fine if you feel that way, and that's something, maybe that's one way people look at things, and that's fine. It doesn't get you any closer to winning the tournament, that kind of attitude. So you have to really pick on form and really understand that they've done a great job for us 2-3 years ago, but now it's about this.
The flip side of it as well, though, is that like if you're coming in never having had an England cap before off a good season, you're going straight into a new environment and a new team, and you're not necessarily going to click and play your best club form straight away in that environment. So it's about that balance.
And it's also about, unless
you're Jude Bellingham, you can just do everything all the time.
Southgate is huge on the squad harmony, which is why I've mentioned Henderson in that bracket, you know, before. And people go, oh, is that is huge when you're cooped up in a hotel away from home for hopefully a long time, you know, these things do
and there is, I mean, to be perfectly balanced before we have to inevitably move on from this chat, like, I mean, we were talking to Lawrence McKenna a week or two ago. He spent a lot of time at Liverpool when Henderson was there, and he was saying, look, in training,
yeah,
Henderson's,
well, I said that
he is the fucking guy.
Yeah, he is, especially for England.
Yeah,
not much chat going on and so on. He's very much driving them forward in a way that perhaps Ben White didn't do.
Sadly, yes, it's a strange situation. This
he's self-selected out of it, right?
Yeah,
got Edu to make the call.
The talk is that
I ain't got his number.
He doesn't love the environment of being away in the camps, and
fair enough.
Not playing is something he doesn't love, by all accounts. But I think, you know, you accept if you're in an international team that you're not always going to be first choice. But apparently he just didn't enjoy the experience of it. And I think, you know, Southgate said you have to respect it, right?
Because he was at the Euros, of course, but the Euros was during COVID.
Yeah,
and it was also different. England were in England for the vast majority of the tournament, of course. So a little bit different, of course, in the first experience. And you're right to say all that kind of stuff. I mean, if he doesn't fancy it, and as a number of people said, you know, he certainly isn't the first and won't be the last to rule himself out.
Although it's rare that it's made public, isn't it, when players rule themselves out?
And I actually quite like that, because what it serves as is a really good reminder for us all, and we're as guilty of this in this studio as anyone, that players are human beings, got their own set of feelings, and obviously we don't know the full picture because we just know what we're being told. But I know plenty of people in this industry who don't like going away from work.
Who don't like
being away from their family for a long, greater period of time. And loads of people who choose different careers because they like to be at home a lot more. This is a career, particularly for someone like Ben White, who's actually on the record saying, you know, this is my job. I don't watch that much football. I'm not desperate to watch football all the time. I like playing it, and that's that. You know, we have to sometimes remind ourselves that, yes, it's an amazingly privileged life to be a football player, but actually you're not in charge of your own destiny at any point. You get a couple of weeks off at the summer if you're lucky these days, and you spend all your time now at the whim of travel and everyone else's decisions.
Yeah.
The idea that, it wasn't that long ago, we remember, don't we? I remember being, you know, a teenager thinking, oh, I can't believe my player of my team's missed because his wife's gone to labour. Like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
These days, that's unthinkable, and absolutely rightly so.
And also, it's a game in which you put your body and your health on the line, and for most players, there are ramifications for that 100%. Later in life. So if he, you know, if he wants to consider his health, perhaps that's I mean, we can only speculate.
I think that
might be a factor as well.
I think, yeah, it might be. I suspect not with regards to that point. I think it is a case of he wants to play, and as he was on record saying, you know, when he's not playing, he's not really that interested in football. If he doesn't feel the vibe, you know, he had that row with Steve Holland when they were away. They say that's not a thing that's kind of causing this. Probably not, but maybe it was a little factor in him leaving. Although there was a bit of time between that row and when he left, but he's not in. So that's the chat's end.
It's up to him.
It is a shame for England, because the relationship he has with Bukayo Saka down the right wing is exceptional and would be a useful weapon.
It's
but it is what it is.
Yeah. Unlikely he would start above Kyle Walker.
Well, indeed. But you know, injuries, etc., you don't know, do you?
You're absolutely right. Okay, coming up in the second half, we've got some FA Cup quarterfinals chat, a mention for Alexander Mitrovic and Jack's Encyclopedia. See you in a moment.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Only Antonio Portales in front of him, but the Mexican is an absolute wall there. Donald Trump would be proud of that.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Commentary from Dundee TV there. And plenty of people sent us that on Twitter.
I haven't heard that before. That was brilliant.
Yeah. You've done a few things that made Donald Trump proud before, haven't you, Luke?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Where are you going with that?
Luke Nation.
Oh, listen, just because I'm better at it than you now, it doesn't mean I'm some kind of inherently evil, does it?
Okay.
Come on.
Come on. That's unfair, isn't it?
You're more of a Donald Trump Jr. guy.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
Yeah. A reminder that you can sign up to our Patreon for just $5 a month. You'll get ad-free versions of every single episode of The Ramble on the Continent and up front. Plus, you'll get an extended version of every Wednesday Ramble where we get into all the proper nonsense that you don't get to hear on the main show. So do click the link in the episode description to sign up now. Right, before we get to the FA Cup, there are one or two games in the Premier League this weekend. Luton Town versus Nottingham Forest is one of them. It's happening at 3 p.m. tomorrow. A huge game down the bottom of the table. Obviously, Luton lost that mad game against Bournemouth 4-3 on Wednesday night. 3-0 up, Jim.
Yeah. Unavailable on TV.
That's so annoying.
Barclays Corporate Entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
mean, for our commercial partners alone.
Yeah. Just absolutely crushing for Luton. I cannot believe after Semenyo has scored that equaliser, they give him so much space in exactly the same position of the pitch.
They look dead on their feet.
It's just the thing is they've had so much fight in them, Luton. They've been so good without winning so often, and there's a lot of momentum there in the performances. And obviously that's the well that they've been drawing from. But I think after this, surely that just batters your confidence so much.
And I think, you know, you have to set it in context against what's happened before as well. So if you look from the sort of start of February onwards, which is where their decent run across January finished, you know, a really poor result against Sheffield United. Inexcusable, really, because Sheffield United are a poor side. Man United, they had their moments, but they got on the end of a narrow defeat at home. You write off the Liverpool game away, fine. You write off Man City as well, that's fine. Against Aston Villa at home, they battled back to get back to 2-2, somehow conspired to lose the game. Against Palace, that was another opportunity for them, but they only got a point. And against Bournemouth, who are having a good season, a better season than most people expected, but are definitely fallible.
Yeah.
You go 3-0 up, you can't afford to not get anything from the game. Luton are in huge danger now of being this kind of romantically glorious team who we already enjoyed, had amazing moments their fans are going to remember forever. But they've got an amazing opportunity to stay in this league still now.
Yeah.
If they had picked up a handful more points across those games, which they definitely should have, they'd be out of the relegation zone.
Yeah.
And they're now playing a team who's directly above them. They cannot afford now to have another game where they go 2-0 up and end up somehow drawing or losing or whatever. They have to make it happen, have to make it count. It's really now kind of shit or bust time. And I know the players are trying hard. I know they're not designing themselves to be like this, but it just feels like it's dripping in glorious defeat. This.
What is shit or bust, by the way? Because either doesn't seem particularly...
You want all the good shit,
or
you want nothing.
Oh, I see. Right. I was being too literal.
Yeah. Yeah.
As I always am.
It feels like every single Luton performance is a spirited underdog FA Cup display.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But it ends in defeat.
Indeed.
And when they play Sheffield United at home, they don't have that and they lose.
Yeah, and I mean, this has really dented the European ambitions as well. Chris Wilder will be enjoying that.
Very, very much so, yeah. I mean, Luton haven't won since the end of January. You know, it's a long time.
They actually smashed Brighton.
Yeah. To be fair, though, to them, they didn't think that Dominic Solanke would channel the spirit of Hal Robson-Kanu.
Oh, that's a good, nice little match. I think that I just thought that goal was one of the best goals of the season.
Yeah.
It didn't get as much credit as it should have. But again, because Jim says, it's not on telly. But it was an incredible goal from a player who's had a really good season. He's in great form. who maybe actually, potentially, given what's happened with Ivan Toney, given that he's been capped before for England, a little bit unfortunate.
Yeah, of course.
Because if you are, because what's happening is, I don't want to go back to the England chat. Because we've
done more
that.
Forwards now, do you?
No, get Maguire out of there, get him in. What I think is, if you've got a situation where Southgate's clearly reserving a couple of places for people he wants to take a chance on, right? Yeah. That's basically what
he has played Solanke before,
exactly, and he's chosen Toney. I think it's a tough argument to say that Toney's had a better season than Solanke.
Yeah, but yeah. Toney's got more quality.
If Watkins has to pull out, Solanke will surely
if they do take three forwards. But we've talked about that.
Yeah. So anyway, I just think he deserves immense credit for the goal, and Bournemouth deserve immense credit for not losing heart. And really, Andoni Iraola was really kind of procedural and kind of all business at half time, which helped. And I also watched the highlights of this game on purpose from the official Bournemouth YouTube channel.
Very good.
And the commentator could not believe his luck.
Oh, man.
He must have said the word cherries about 400 times, and it went up in register every single time. He couldn't believe, he was loving life. It was a really, really interesting
great
thing.
Great stuff. Well,
any Americans watching that would be going, the cherries against the Hatters. You are doing this wrong. Yeah. You are Falcons and Sharks and like, what are you doing?
It's so quaint, isn't it?
It really is.
It was all played on the Village Green.
Exactly.
And we all had sandwiches afterwards.
And it was on the back of an old tenner. Yeah, I forget the two cricket teams, the Pickwick. Anyway.
It's Charles Dickens' The Pickwick Papers, isn't it?
It is.
That's where it comes from. I don't know what the cricket teams are called, but that's where it's used to be from.
All Muggleton was one versus, maybe it was like the Pickwicks or something. Yeah. I don't know, whatever it was.
Yeah. Nice reference, though.
Dingley Dell?
Yeah, maybe. That's right.
Could be right. Yes, so huge one there in the Premier League, but we've got some big ones in the FA Cup as well. Manchester City host Newcastle United. Now, Newcastle would be disappointed with this draw. There's no two ways about that, but they have a chance. Manchester City could be without Kevin De Bruyne after he was left out of the Belgian squad this week due to injury.
Or a mystery that he's solving with his little dog and Captain Haddock, who knows?
Either or, he could be distracted.
Yeah. Who's Captain Haddock? And this presumably is like Raja Nangalan. There's some kind of Captain Haddock with a big beard just smoking.
That'd be an amazing Captain Haddock reboot. Yeah. Bring it up to date.
But, I mean, we talk about Liverpool going for all the trophies. Manchester City know what it's like to win all the trophies.
They do.
And again, you wouldn't put it past them to win them all.
The treble, a treble, they've done the lot.
All the trebles.
Twat.
Do you give Newcastle much of a chance here?
Not really. It's tempting to think that surely City are going to kind of, take their foot off the gas at some point, or maybe get sucker points at some point in one of these competitions. Surely they're not going to do another treble, etc. But I think Newcastle, they just look absolutely gassed, don't they? And they are struggling a little bit for identity, really. I don't think we know what to expect from this Newcastle team in the way we did last season. And you sense there's a bit of kind of that sort of ennui within the team themselves as well.
Funny season for them this one.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you touched on the Tonali season. They've had a lot of injuries, as a lot of teams had. There is definitely a sort of difficult second season syndrome as well going on. There's a lot of factors. But you wonder what's Newcastle's aim now? I think it's sort of any European football is what they want, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean they're 10th. You know, they are... I mean, again, it depends on who wins all the trophies, as you say. I mean, it could be 11 or whatever it was, English clubs. Seems unlikely, but there could be a few.
I mean, they could go gangbusters for the rest of the season and finish sixth.
Yeah.
And get to a cup final, maybe.
7 points off Manchester United, though. I mean,
And we've also not seen the consistency for them. They had a little run not that long ago, but since then it's been very, very difficult. And I think if you look at Manchester City, they've lost one game since October the 8th, which was against Arsenal. The one game they lost was against Aston Villa. They are...
It is
absolutely
ridiculous.
Imperious. They are imperious.
Yeah, because I mean, because again, with Liverpool, we talk about Liverpool rightly so. With Klopp, his style is very emotional, and you can kind of feel and see those wins, and it's very obvious. With Manchester City, again, it's that machine-like quality going about their business. Because when you say those stats, Luke, it's like Gordon Bennett.
And the annoying thing is, there are these teams who, you know, Newcastle have a chance here to just throw caution to the wind, throw absolutely everything at it. But it's that machine-like quality of City that they just stand up to that really, really easily.
Elsewhere in the FA Cup, Manchester United are hosting Liverpool at Old Trafford, of course. It's still standing at 3:30 on Sunday. Manchester United, yes. So their sort of, I suppose, swept-up operation continues. They're being sued by their own staff for accidentally emailing 167 members of staff, their wage slips, and those of everyone else in that group.
So they're doing a BCC, but they've not done the BCC, yeah. They've done the CC, which is a big, big error.
Little gift to any fraudsters out there.
Yeah. If you were on the end of that, uh-huh. Are you looking at everyone else's?
No.
You wouldn't.
It takes one, doesn't it?
No, but would you be it? So, okay, let me give you a more specific scenario, both of you. This happens to you.
Yeah.
You've got a team of like four people. Uh-huh. Would you not be tempted to have a look and see how much they're getting paid compared to you?
You'd be tempted, but the fact is that the annoyance is not that. The annoyance is your personal stuff is out there.
Yeah.
That's it. That's how you got to look at it, Luke.
They're probably going to look
at
yours.
There's a lot of annoyances.
They're going to look at yours, guys. So yeah, well, have a look at theirs.
So this involves...
you are better than John from accounts. So have a look at his wage slip, see if you're getting paid more.
Well, this involves staff in catering, hospitality, the museum, stadium tours, and program sellers.
I mean, joking aside, it is beyond belief and probably going to cost them a lot of money in compensation.
Yeah. Well, the claimants are looking for £100,000 each, which will cancel out last season's Carabao Cup win if even one of them...
successful.
I tell you what, you put it like that, Jim, it's mind-boggling.
All right, you can all have the Carabao Cup winning money. Great, that sounds amazing. Mm. How much is it each? About 800 quid.
fans are also angry that members of the South Stand United, a group of season ticket holders in the Sir Bobby Charlton Stand at Old Trafford, have been told their seats will be unavailable next season so Academy players can sit there.
Yeah, they're furious about it.
Well, if you've had a season ticket there for a long old time and everyone said you've got to move now because a bunch of let's be honest, quite privileged teenage academy players are going to sit there instead. There's a whole camaraderie around season ticket. You get to know the people around you. It's a really awful thing, and there must be a better solution for a club the size of United to do that. Their argument is that they want the academy players to be able to have a side-on view so they can watch the movement and the tactics and all kind of stuff of the first team so they can become more afraid to it. To me, I don't see why you can't get that from video. I mean, everything's covered on video anyway. Yeah. They have analysis up the fucking arses of all this stuff. It just seems like a bit of a PR own goal, particularly now when fans start to put together a specific pressure group about it.
Yep.
It feels like you might want to back
them. They've also been moved directly under the leak in the roof.
Yeah. And they've also produced some fairly good players through that academy without them having sat there before.
Yeah, I don't think it's been a deal breaker, is it?
No.
No.
Cobbie Mayne, who's thinking, I didn't sit there.
Maybe all of Fergie's fledglings did.
Maybe they did.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the trick.
Yeah.
Elsewhere in the FA Cup, Wolves versus Coventry. Coventry's first quarterfinal since 2008-2009. How about that? The Championship Player Final, incidentally, is scheduled for the day after the FA Cup final.
Yeah.
So they might have to move the player final if Coventry or Leicester, who are playing Chelsea, make it to both finals.
Yeah, it's almost like it's too much football. It's hard to fit it all in, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. You'd be surprised if Leicester made it to the Championship player final because they're probably going to win the league.
Smashing it, yeah. A lot of Coventry fans took exception, I think, to us almost immediately dismissing Coventry's chances of winning against Wolves at Molineux because, and looking back on it, probably rightly so, because they're having a good season and, Wolves are doing actually pretty well, but they are capable of having the odd poor result. So I think maybe looking back on it, Coventry would have been fairly happy with that draw given some of the teams they could have got in it.
Yeah.
So maybe there's some interest in that fixture as well.
But I think we were just angry at the fact that they put Maidstone United
out.
Yeah,
true.
And also Maidstone would have then presumably been at Wolves and Big George would have got his reunion with them.
He would have. And I also,
they'd have gone through that.
I would also, I'll make no bones about it, I would absolutely love to see Gary O'Neill lift the FA Cup as
Big
a manager.
Gag, yeah.
Because he missed out on winning it with Pompey in the FA Cup.
Realistically, I suppose you could, Wolves can realistically win the FA Cup.
Of course they can.
You know, you'd quite fancy them, yeah. I'm back in Wolves.
Good. All right,
back in the winner of Coventry versus Wolves versus Coventry
to win the whole thing,
but as in I want them to win.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'd be happy if Leicester won it as well.
FA Cup quarter final weekend is great, and it's I think one thing we can definitely be sure of is if you're in the semi final, you've got a chance. So this is a big moment for all these teams.
Big old moment, indeed.
Anyway, now it's time for the Ramble Acca with Betfair. With Betfair this season, you can build your football accumulators with their 90-minute payout, where all winning selections will be paid out in 90 minutes on their Match Odds 90 markets, regardless of what happens in added time. So today, as ever, we're building an Acca of four Match Odds 90 bets from across the weekend's football. First up, with 9 out of 19 correct, which is quite a poor record for a so-called football expert, it's Andy Brassel. He had this to say.
Hello, Andy here. Wouldn't it be a fairy tale if Newcastle got themselves a first trophy in decades? Not going to happen, though, is it? Oscar Bob hat-trick, probably. Manchester City to win.
That was Dotun Adebayo and Nicky Bandini in the background there, showing a bit of atmosphere for Andy and his voice note. Probably did that on OTC duty yesterday.
You'd think so.
But there we go. And like I say, Andy's got 9 out of 19 correct, but I think it's a fairly safe bet based on what we've talked about today and Man City's form, that Man City will beat Newcastle. Jim?
Yes, I have gone for Wolves to beat Coventry. Sorry, Coventry fans, but I just think Wolves are going to have a bit too much. For they are in the Premier League, Coventry are in the Championship. Championship not, isn't as good.
It's not a good league, is
so,
it? It's not as good.
It is a good league.
It is a good league.
It's not as good a league.
It's not as
good.
Right, just correct yourself.
I think it's a great league.
There you go.
The team I support will be in it next season, fingers crossed.
There you go.
So that's Wolves to beat Coventry from Jim, who's got 12 out of 27 correct so far. Marcus?
Liverpool to beat Manchester United. Because they just keep winning.
There's a lot of safe bets going on here.
Well, but it's away from home.
Yeah, true.
And therefore, that means it's less likely.
Okay, you're really selling it into me there. You've got 16 out of 28 correct, which is actually a very good record.
So. I had a mare last week.
You did?
Well, Aston Villa had the mare.
Yeah, it's partly cursed by you though, right?
A little bit, yeah, yeah. You'd say.
And Betfair have asked me, because it's Cheltenham Gold Cup day today.
Big one.
Betfair have asked me to pick a horse to win the Gold Cup in a little bit of a departure from the usual. So I've gone for Galopin Deschamps to win the Gold Cup this afternoon.
Any word on Alan Brazil?
I haven't spoken to Big Al.
Is he back in the
he's
same
there
one?
And he's enjoying it.
Yeah.
I like Galopin Deschamps to win the Gold Cup, as a lot of people do. He won it last year.
Uh-huh.
It's a Willie Mullins horse, and he's dominated this race over the last 5 years as a trainer. I think the horse will go off as favourite, and for good reason. So that's the pick for me. So in summary, we've gone for Man City to beat Newcastle, Wolves to beat Coventry, Liverpool to beat Man United, and Galopin Deschamps to win the Cheltenham Gold Cup. A £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £64.80. And if we win, all that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK. Plus, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, there are some Premier League games as well, don't forget. Betfair will donate £10 to Prostate Cancer UK. And we've raised £710 already this season, which is a not insignificant amount. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their Match Odds 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by some stoppage time drama will not be affected. It's important to remember that. And that's the same for our Rambalaka every week, although this week, obviously, we're doing FA Cup games. Exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook. T's and C's apply, 18 plus only. For more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org.
And now it's time for this.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
Yes, here we are.
Here
a
we
big
are.
One. A big, big clash.
Oh, Marcus is more confident than me.
The Sultan of Surrey, the runaway leader of the Jackson Encyclopedia League against the Gosport Goliath, the millennial champion.
Happy with that.
It's massive. It's a simple game of categories. If you go too slow, as you know by now, I will play Gary Neville's Orgasm, which will leave you 7 seconds.
I'm worried because I've got a feeling there's going to be some England-themed stuff and it means I've got no chance.
I cantered to victory last week with a 2-0 win. Randy, but this is a clash between the lineal champion and the championship leader, as we say. So, Luke, you are seeking your fourth consecutive victory. Yeah. And according to Jimmy to the B, if you win, you will have held the title for 8 weeks, the longest streak of any of us this season.
You made sure you had a holiday during that, obviously.
Yeah,
exactly.
I would prefer not to have known that beforehand.
It's a little trip to Dubai, isn't it? You recharge your battery.
Yeah, big time. Mid-season training, mate.
Exactly.
Big time with Big Sam.
Yeah.
So, as Jamhan said on the Discord, I'm sure Luke's enjoying Portsmouth's 500-game unbeaten streak in the Premier League.
Well, from memory, Portsmouth's final game in the Premier League was a really disappointing 1-0 defeat to Everton. So actually,
good knowledge. Yeah,
yeah. It's not great anyway.
Good memory of what sounds like a horrible memory.
That was terrible. Pompey were bottom every single week, apart from the first week, of which I think they were about 14th.
Fun.
Yeah,
fun.
It was fucking shit.
Right.
We got to the cup final, though, to be fair. Anyway, we're digressing.
We are ready to go. So, Marcus, you're going to go up first.
I should be, because he's the champ.
Ah, oh, what?
You're the lineal champ.
Say it again.
No.
It's very much arbitrary. Marcus, you are going first. Can you name every nationality that has been represented in the Premier League this season by at least 5 different players? So that's 5 players of a particular nationality who have registered an appearance in this season's Premier League. There are 28 answers.
English.
Marcus, you're up.
Oh,
England.
Good safe bet.
Well done.
Scotland.
Irish.
There we go. Ireland.
You say Ireland, yeah. Wales.
It's a safe game so far.
Yeah.
French.
Gotta
France
be. Gotta be.
Is in there.
Surely Belgium.
Belgium. There they are.
Portuguese.
Portuguese.
Well done, Marcus. That's a good guess. Brazil.
German.
Yeah. It's just basically big nations. Argentina.
Spanish.
Very good so far, guys.
How many's left?
About half.
Nigeria.
Ooh, yeah. Dutch.
Jesus, Marcus, you're too quick.
Sorry.
Senegal.
Senegal are in there. Good one.
Danish.
Denmark is there.
Oh, it's getting tricky now. I'm going to take a flyer at the United States of America.
Ooh, I had that down.
Ooh, yeah, they're there.
Oh, good.
Ivory Coast.
Oh.
Ivory Coast also there.
Yeah. Okay. I've got two down. I'm not sure about either of them. I'm just going to pick one of them.
That is very much the game.
Yeah. Mali.
Mali. Ooh. Yes.
Well played. Well
very
played.
Good.
Well, I'll go for Ghana.
And you'll also be correct.
Yeah.
You're doing really well here, guys.
So the other one, I had three written down. I've actually got two left.
I think there are nine to go.
I'll go Sweden.
Sweden, and you will be correct.
Yep.
This is great stuff, by the way. Well done.
I will go Italian.
And you will also be correct.
Shit, I forgot about them.
Yeah, so did I.
The only home nation we haven't said is Northern Ireland.
I wasn't confident with
that. I'll go them.
Fair play.
Oh!
Fair enough.
Well, I'm out now. totally out.
Yeah. So.
Got six left.
Who have we got then?
Six left. This is a monster game.
I'll go Swiss.
Correct.
Oh!
Get in there.
Very good. That's brilliant. Can't argue with that. Oh, Norwegian. You must be Norwegian.
They bloody must be.
Yeah.
What I'm doing, I'm thinking of two or three that I can think of.
To go.
Trust in the rest.
It's a really, really good game. Well done, guys.
Jesus. If he hasn't got one, I've still got to get one.
Mm-hmm.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final.
Austrian.
Has been written.
That's the wrong answer.
So I need to get one.
You do need to get one.
Shit.
Four left.
I'll tell you what. I think I've got one.
Go on.
Jamaica.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Got it. Well played.
Antonio, Amari
Bailey.
Bell. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well played.
A blow for the lineal champion.
Yeah, well
Marcus.
Played. That was classic Jackson Cyclopedia.
Yeah.
So now, who did we miss?
Who did you miss? You missed Colombia, Poland, and Ukraine. I mean, that's good going. That's really, really good going.
Well, we do watch a lot of Premier League football, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oof,
what's
good
next?
Stuff.
What's good next?
Stuff. Next is epic. Speaking of classic Jackson Cyclopedia, every England men's player who has received only one cap since 2015. Don't need the game, obviously, just the player.
Oh, the Luke, game. I'm get the game. Fucking hell.
He will.
Okay, so since 2015.
Since 2015, there
one
are 16
cap.
Players, one cap. So to just clarify a little bit, that means one appearance on the pitch. It's not just, you know, being in the bench, being in the squad.
That is actually quite difficult.
It is a tough one. Luke, you are up first with that. So 16 answers.
16. There's no
way. I'm genuinely struggling here.
Well, I'm going to rely on this. Yeah, I'm not actually going to say that because I'm going to give you a clue. Ivan Toney?
Oh, well
Ivan
played.
Toney.
Very well played.
Is there, correct?
Yeah, I shit myself then. I thought it wasn't going to be in there. I'm well surprised you're not flying through this.
Yeah, I am as well.
Quick game is a good game.
Hit the fucking button if you're not happy.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final.
Jack Butland.
Oh no!
I'm well surprised.
Played.
I mean,
mate, I was struggling so much there.
Because I've got a few here.
Put me out my misery.
Yeah.
Eddie
Nketiah is there. I'll read them all out. Alex McCarthy. Dean Henderson.
I had Henderson.
Dominic Solanke.
Had Solanke as well.
Eddie Nketiah.
Ryan Mason.
Harvey Barnes. Ryan Mason is in there. Jack Cork.
Mate.
James Justin. Levi Colwill. Lewis Cook.
Rico Lewis, maybe?
Mason Greenwood. Nathan Redmond. Nathaniel Chelliber. Patrick Bamford, Rico Lewis, and Ryan Mason. So, yeah.
Tell you what, Luke is all over this
now.
Yeah,
really good.
The Mason one I thought might be a bit early, so I didn't want to say it. But anyway,
oh, man.
There we go.
You done me on England.
Yeah, I know.
I have to take my hat off to you.
I thought, as soon as I heard that question, I was like, there's no chance.
Really tough one.
It shows you, ladies and gentlemen, if you put your mind to it,
you can achieve.
You too can become Luke Moore.
Well, you don't want to, trust me.
No, I'm genuinely impressed with you there, pal. Well played.
The first round was brilliant.
Well, there we are.
Yeah.
Sorry about the second round, everybody. But there we are. There can only be one winner, and it tends to be Luke Moore these days.
Well, yeah.
So I'm surprised and disappointed as the rest of you. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Do join us three tomorrow for the mailbag, where we're answering your questions. Follow us on X, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram at Football Ramble. Follow us on Spotify. Luke Moore.
The keys.
There they
and
are.
As you,
you're the real winner.
As you are the little champion. Pick us just an artist. Doesn't have to be a song. Pick an artist for everybody to listen to as they dance off into the weekend.
Mr. Worldwide.
Damn right.
Pitbull, baby.
That is the answer. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow for the mailbag.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear, and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.